Hello and welcome back to this edition of Devils in the Details, an emergency edition. Today it's me, Jonathan Haidt, alongside Ryan Henry, where for just the next couple of minutes, we are going to recap one of the biggest moves in recent memory for the New Jersey Devils, as they announced on Sunday, February 26th, that they have traded for the number one target out of all these teams, out of all these NHL teams during the trade deadline, in Timo Meier from the San Jose Sharks. So before we break down this trade, let me read out all the information that we've now gotten from all the insiders and from the teams themselves. This is one of the largest trades in NHL history. They're still trying to figure out where it ranks on the list in terms of quantity, just because there's so many players and picks on both sides, which kind of is a little bit unexpected because you thought it would only be maybe two or three pieces going the way of the Sharks. But going down the list, the Devils acquired Timo Meier, Timur Ibrahimov, Scott Harrington, Santeri Hatakka, Zachary Emmond, who are those guys are some prospects, a fifth round pick in the 2024 NHL draft in exchange for the Devils' 2023 first round pick, which is conditional, a top, not a ultra top, but a top prospect in their defensive core from the Devils in Shahir Mukhamudulin, Nikita Okoryuk, and forwards Andreas Johnsson and Fabian Zetterlund, as well as a conditional second round pick in the 24 draft, as well as a seventh round selection in the 24 draft as well. And San Jose will retain 50% of Meier's salary as a part of this trade. And that is the full shebang of the pieces apart of both sides. Ryan, first glance, first time hearing this information, how did you react?
I was shocked. And I mean, so the trade, it wasn't like, you know, the pieces were developing a bit slowly. Like I heard like Timo Meier was moved and then we didn't find out the full package until hours after the fact, which I mean, sometimes it happens in hockey. I'm not a huge fan of it, but sometimes that's just how trade news breaks. But I was shocked, John. I mean, you know, I was on the last two episodes of Devils in the Details and I was saying, you know, every single Meier trade had to include Alexander Holtz, because while he hasn't been, you know, people thought he'd be maybe progressing a bit better at this stage, he's still probably the best forward prospect in the Devil system. Obviously, if overall prospects, you have Simon Nemitz and Luke Hughes, but Holtz is their best forward prospect. They didn't give him up. Fabian Zetterlund, he's playing well. He's had some limited role in the fourth line. He's done well in that role in spurts, but he's not a high ceiling kind of a guy. He's more of maybe, you know, a top, not maybe on like a third line or maybe like fringe second liner, but he's not a true elite top six talent. And then Shakir Mukhamudulin, we were saying they probably include him because he's a solid defensive prospect, but not their best ones. And then a first, and then a couple of picks. But I'm surprised that there wasn't the big piece the Sharks are getting back. I thought it was going to be a lot.
Yeah, Ryan. I mean, my first initial thoughts was, I mean, round of applause for GM Tom Fitzgerald, because I don't understand what the Sharks were fully thinking in this trade. For weeks, we were talking about Alexander Holtz, like you mentioned. It made sense for him to go to San Jose. I mean, he's Swedish. The Sharks have a very, very, very good and arguably their best forward prospect who's Swedish in William Eklund. They had some connection. They could have reunited in some capacity on the Sharks. In recent days, we were talking about for the Devils that they'd have to give up maybe Dawson Mercer, which, in my opinion, I don't think it would have been worth it to trade Dawson Mercer for Timo Meier, but the Sharks had every right to try to include Dawson Mercer, who's, you know, having a great year, and he's so young and team-controlled for multiple years. And, I mean, a big part of this trade as well is getting Timo Meier on 50% retained salary as well. He's going to have a qualifying offer of around $10 million in the offseason. So maybe it'll be like the Islander situation with Bo Horvat. Maybe the Devils could get him locked up in the next couple of days. Otherwise, it will just carry on until the offseason. But, I mean, the Devils have so many top, like you mentioned, the forward prospect, Alexander Holtz. You have Luke Hughes, Simon Nemitz. You figured those guys weren't going to be moved. And, I mean, I think Tom Fitzgerald did the best job possible of almost shaving around the outsides of their prospect pool to get Shahir Mukhamudulin, who could be a quality top four defenseman. He doesn't have the ceiling as Nemitz or Hughes, but I mean, you're taking a shot with him because he's been playing in Russia and for so long. You don't know when he's going to come over from the KHL. Like you mentioned, Ryan, Fabian Zetterlund is probably going to be a third-line winger for the majority of his career, maybe a second-liner if his shot keeps improving. No one to the caliber of Timo Meier. You got to hope that those picks, honestly, are the part of this trade that are going to be riding the Sharks home. The first-round pick, we know there's some stipulations involved with the pick as well. When you look at Timo Meier, hottest commodity on the trade market. The Devils got him. He's 26. He's, you know, entering his prime. So a little bit of some background about him before I ask you the next question, Ryan. 6'1", 220. He's totaled 316 career points in 451 games with the Sharks. And that point total is 10th all-time, excuse me, in San Jose franchise history. The goal total is ranked 9th. He's got some playoff experience as well. He's one of the best power play players, period, in all of the National Hockey League in terms of being able to score on the power play. A huge part of this, and when listening to Timo Meier's interview when he first joined the Devils, is obviously he is from Switzerland. Nico Hischier, Jonas Siegenthaler, those are guys that have played with him before. They're from the same country. He literally outright admitted that he talked to Nico Hischier a decent bit before the trade went through. So those guys are reuniting. They are World Junior teammates. Timo Meier also played for Halifax in the QMJHL during his junior career at one point, as well as obviously, you know, he sure did. But that connection is there. A lot of this made sense. We knew Carolina and Vegas were going to be, towards the end of this process, the only real competition for the Devils. That's what a lot of the insiders were saying, and those are the places that made the most sense for him. So, Ryan, my next question to you, I mean, on paper, I mean, who won the trade? And I want you to assess this both for now, for this season, because this puts the Devils in a very good spot to try to take the Metro Division title. And just in the long term, what do you see out of these guys potentially panning into?
So, I mean, Timo Meier, I mean, obviously we've said this before and I'll say it again. It was a move that helps the Devils not only this year, but for the next few years, if they're able to retain him. You know, Timo Meier, you know, hitting the prime of his career. He's still got a few years. I think he's 26, 27. And he progresses well. He fits the same timeline as their other key players. You talk about Jack Hughes, 21. Nico Hischier's in his early 20s. So is Jesper Bratt. So all four of them will be together, still great together, and be around. We'll see with Jesper Bratt because he's going to be a free agent. But at least the other three will be around for a long time, and they'll progress, and they're on similar timelines in terms of their career. Going to San Jose, I mean, you get another first-round pick, and while it won't be in the top half, for as great as the top talent is this league, there's also a lot of hype just surrounding the overall depth in this draft. But I still think the Sharks should have gotten something bigger for Timo Meier.
Yeah, and I mean, at the time of this recording, I mean, Tanner Janot just went for like 5 draft picks, which I mean, many have arguing already that return could be even better than this. If you're looking at the Sharks' perspective, because they had the chips at their disposal. He's under team control, obviously. They have to qualify him in the offseason anyway. Every team in the league, I'm sure, called for him at least once heading into this deadline. And the Devils, and really, I mean, the Knights didn't have a ton of youth to work with in terms of assets to give up. The Devils and Hurricanes made sense. And this also obviously helps the Devils in the pursuit of not only a Stanley Cup, but just in future contention. He's going to now be in the division, Timo Meier, against teams like the Hurricanes, the Rangers, the Islanders, other teams that are surely going to upgrade some more. We talk about the Rangers maybe getting Patrick Kane a couple of days. So this Devil Rangers potential first-round playoff series is just going to be an absolute just bloodbath and really, really fun hockey. So 2 more questions for you, Ryan, before we wrap up this emergency episode of Devils in the Details. My second last question to you is, in your perfect world, let's say you're Lindy Ruff. Let's pretend you're the head coach of the Devils right now. Where would you play Timo Meier, at least to start out with, and where do you envision his role in the team? We know he's a power forward. We know his shot. We know his offense capability, how big a strong physical presence he is, which really gives the Devils some size as well. Where do you see him playing?
I mean, so when you're talking about, you know, regular 5-on-5 hockey, it makes sense having him on the first line. So I know, you know, Nico Hischier's obviously centers that line, or the line, Nico Hischier's line, I should specify, because I know they switch first, second line. So he should be with Nico Hischier. I mean, obviously, it's cool with the Swiss narrative, but also they need someone else on that wing. Dawson Mercer's been playing really well as of recently, but that secondary wing next to Hischier, Mercer, whether it's been Eric Halla, sometimes they've been experimenting with Andre Palat. They just need a bit more, and now you have two lines with two really elite players with Hischier and Meyer on that one line, and then Brad Hughes on the other. So you have, you know, a good set of two really great lines that pretty much match up with the two best lines of any other team in the NHL, and I think they'll have a very potent offense and obviously should be on the first power play unit.
Yeah, and I mean, whether he's playing with Hischier, who he knows, or Jack Hughes, he's going to make anyone in the National Hockey League look good. I think he's really going to boost the play of some of these Devils around them, who a lot of them already are on trajectory for career years. I mean, Jack Hughes is it's like 2 points per game at this point of the season. You can maybe have him as a safe bet for 100 if he's able to keep this up. And having Timo Meier, especially on the power play as well, just another outlet for someone to pass it to. Again, he's a strong presence down low. It'll be interesting to see whether they use him on the power play as more of a sniper, maybe towards the right circle, or as a physical presence up in and around the crease. I mean, there's so many ways you can utilize Meyer in the Devils' power play. But one last question for you, Ryan, before we wrap things up. We've kind of asked this on multiple episodes already, and now with having Timo Meyer, raw reactions, do you think this will – I mean, this is a loaded question. Do you think this will catapult the Devils into a greater trajectory in terms of finishing higher in the standings for the regular season? And do you think this could put him ahead of some other teams in the Metro in the playoffs?
I mean, when you're looking at the Metro, since we last checked in on in the past few weeks, they've really have kind of separated themselves from the New York Rangers. I mean, now they have 6 points with the Rangers having an extra game on them. So, I mean, it's still easy to come back from. But, you know, the Devils are ever so slightly starting to pull away now, and they're only 3 points behind Carolina, who after a really strong start is, while still winning, it does seem like they've definitely slowed down a bit to where they're not winning like 8 of 10 or like going 7-2-1 in a stretch. So they could potentially get the number one seed in the Metro. Now, I personally, just as a NHL fan, would love to see a Devils Rangers first round playoff series, because not only would it be really exciting hockey, but every single person I know that is a hockey fan would be going crazy because of either they're a Devils fan or they're a Rangers fan. But there's a real chance that the Devils can get that number one seed in the Metro. And then when you're looking at the Eastern Conference, I think they, at least offensively, they stack up with any team in this conference. You know, maybe overall more talent-wise, maybe I'd give it to Toronto. But, I mean, you know, with Toronto, you never, even with that offensive talent, they haven't had the playoff results to show for it. So, you know, now this catapults them not only into the top of the Metro, but, you know, looking at the other contenders from the Eastern Conference, the Devils aren't really that far off.
Yeah, I mean, the East is going to be an absolute war this year for the playoffs. I mean, at least compared to the Western Conference playoff races in the East, it's so razor tight. You're going to have one of these top teams in all of hockey. You know, two of them are going to lose in the first run, especially like the Devils play the Rangers and the Leafs play the Lightning. So it remains to be seen. The Devils definitely have the offense for it and the pace they play with. Just some question marks is the playoff experience. Not a lot of these guys do have the playoff experience. So you're going up against an older team like the Rangers that have obviously went through last season, a team like Carolina that's a couple of years under their belt in terms of playoff, just exposure. And I think it's also Vitek Vanacek. A lot of teams that, I mean, most of the teams that do advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the ones that go on these huge runs have great goaltending. And he's had a great year so far for the Devils. And he's going to have to go up another step and take another, you know, jump forward if the Devils want to make a huge run in this playoffs, no matter who they go up against. Because, you know, the offense will surely be there. The defense has improved. You assume it's going to hold up in the playoffs. But the goaltending is going to be crucial. But that is a topic for another day. And that will wrap up this emergency edition of Devils in the Details. Big shout out to our analyst, Ryan Henry, for hopping on with me in such short notice and pretty late at night. Once again, I've been Jonathan Haidt, and be sure to stay tuned for our Devils coverage the rest of the season. And we'll have a new episode up that's not an emergency episode in probably a few days or so. But for now, take care.